Senate will please come back to order. The Senate will please come back to order. Second reading. Well, thank you. Bills on second reading. House Bill 10, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 10, Clean Water Revolving Fund Amendments.
No amendments, no discussion. Senator Cooper.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, yesterday there was a number of questions that were brought up on this by the good senator from Casper and also the good senator from Fremont County. We've gathered a great deal of information, probably a dozen sheets or so from the DEQ people, and we've supplied that information to the two senators, and we thought we didn't want to use up another tree for publishing all these documents to the body, but we have it available. If you'd like to have the information, we'd be glad to supply that to you. But a couple of the questions I would like to answer was a list of the loans and the various accounts. We do have that available now. It's a pretty substantial list. Have it available if you'd like to see it. We've supplied that to the two good senators. And we also had a question on the on page 3, line 17, as to whether we were trying to establish another account there. And the way this would work, this would actually be a sub-account of the main capitalization account. This would not be a new account being established, although that could be accomplished on third reading or so if we wanted to do that. And we also had some questions on how many people and how they are paid through it. Basically, it's a combination of staff from both the DEQ and the Office of State Land and Investment. They actually charge their time based on the real-time hours that they use. There is some travel and some other research that has to be done and is charged to this account also. And, Mr. Chairman, that pretty well takes care of how the questions. The only question we're still waiting on is on a copy of last year's reimbursement claim to the federal government. It's a fairly substantial document, and we'll have that ready and bring that out to the askers of the question, Mr. President. So.
Any further discussion of the bill? House Bill 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 55, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 55, Nurse Licensure Compact 1.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, yesterday in Committee of the Whole, there were some questions about what this says to the financing of the Nurse Licensure Board. The board and the Nurses Association put their heads together and came up with a fact sheet because they had done some projections, and I've had it circulated. It's in your inbox there. They do show they're expecting to lose some money over this net. They get some additional nurses in, but they lose more than they get in. They don't think it'll go into effect until later, probably in 2018. The Wyoming Board of Nursing built up a reserve account and plans to use some of those funds to offset the loss of licensure revenue. They don't expect to have to raise their license fees, but if the reserves go down enough, then they will. It looks like that when everything shakes down, they hope they're going to be all right, but they might have to have a small license fee increase. And, Mr. Chairman, I think same principles apply on a much smaller scale to the next House bill, House Bill 56.
Further discussion on House Bill 55? House Bill 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 56, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 56, Advanced Practice Nurse Licensure Compact.
Any further discussion on the bill? House Bill 56, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 59, second reading of the bill.
House Bill 59, Healthcare Statutory Compliance.
No amendments, no discussion. House Bill 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're at that order of businesses of bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do. I move that the following consent list be, I read the following consent list as follows, and the first one, Mr. President, is Centerfall 70 off-road recreational vehicles, Centerfall 78 Office of Consumer Affairs, a consumer advocate, repeal date, Centerfall 95, Eye Care Consumer Protection 2, Centerfall 97, Student and School Safety Call Center, Centerfall 99, Emergency Medical Services, Centerfall 100, Special Districts Emergency Medical Services, Centerfall 101, Public Health Laboratory Fees, Centerfall 102, Federal Funds Distribution, Senate Joint Resolution 4, Labeling for Genetically Engineered Items, and Mr. President, I would ask that Centerfall 78 be removed.
Without objection, Senate File 78, Office of Consumer Advocate, repeal date is removed from the consent list. Would any of the members like any of the other bills removed from the consent list? There being no request, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 70, Off-Road Recreational Vehicles. Senate File 95, Eye Care Consumer Protection, hyphen 2. Senate File 97, Student and School Safety Call Center. Senate File 99, Emergency Medical Services. Senate File 100, Special Districts Emergency Medical Services. Senate File 101, Public Health Laboratory Fees. Senate File 102, Federal Funds Distribution. Senate Joint Resolution 4, Labeling for Genetic Engineering Items, hyphen 2. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern? Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 70, are there any changes? Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 70, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 95, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 95, 29 aye, 1 no. Senate File 97, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Perkins, aye to no.
Kinski, aye to no. Ross, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 97, 19 aye, 11 no. Senate file 99, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 99, 30 aye. Senate file 100, are there any changes? Ross, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 128, aye, 2, no. Senate file 101, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 101, 30 aye. Senate file 102, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate file 102, 28 aye, 2 no. Senate Joint Resolution 4, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Kinski, aye to no. Burns, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. Senate Joint Resolution 4, 26 aye, 4 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to Senate, Senate file 70, 95, 97, 99, 100, 101, 102, and Senate Joint Resolution number 4 have all passed the Senate. Senate File 78, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, the more and more I have dug into this issue of the OCA, Office of Consumer Advocate, the more and more I see that all the arguments I made for bringing this bill to the attention of the Senate, what we're trying to accomplish, become more and more apparent. However, Mr. President, as I've looked into it, it goes beyond OCA, and there's other issues involved that I don't think this bill really gets to, and so rather than trying to have a discussion for 6 months or a year about whether or not we should have the repeal date changed, I think it's more important that we look into the bigger picture and we take it, we just reach in there as a Senate, as a legislature, and see what we can do about the overall structure and try to get better representation for the consumers in the hearings and what we do with the PSC. And with that, Mr. President, under Senate Rule 4-7B, I move that we refer Senate File 78, Office of Consumer Advocate Repeal Date, to Committee Number 12. rules.
Without objection, Senate File 78 is re-referred to Committee Number 12, Rules.
All right.
We could have to journal, but you might have called a meeting. Senate File 88, third reading of the bill.
Should have called a meeting.
Senate File 88, State Lands Within Grand Teton National Park, sponsored by Senator Bebout, an act relating to state lands.
We have an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 88, third reading, amendment number 1, page 3, line 20.
Senator Bebout.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 88. Members of the Senate, as we try to work out language to enable us to move forward with the possible sale of those two school sections, Antelope Flats and Kelly up in Grand Teton National Park, it's more and more difficult to get the situation completed and the sale completed. And so this is round, I'm not sure, 3, 4, or 5, Mr. President. But what this does, it goes in and amends the bill for the following rights, the following changes, and they're really important, members of the Senate. And if you look at the amendment, what we do is we want to sell both parcels in a single transaction. And unless, and this is the key, Mr. President, unless the Antelope parcel is conveyed first, then what we want to do is on the Kelly parcel, there are easements in that Kelly parcel. And we think that's what has taken down the value of that Kelly parcel. So we want them, if in fact they go through the Antelope sale, but they don't want to do both of them at the same time, that they will release that easement. That's on Line 14, releases any easement on the Kelly parcel. Mr. President, that's very important because that will enhance the value of that should they decide not to proceed with it. And, you know, we have a fiduciary responsibility to do the best we can with our school trust land. So that's the purpose of that. And then the other thing, Mr. President, there's a road through that. If you've been up to Teton County, you know that road goes through Kelly. And it's the only access up to the Grovant by Slide Lake. And it's very important that we keep that. So if, in fact, we do sell that in both parcels, we want to be sure that that road is maintained so they don't come in there and close the road. You know, stranger things have happened with the federal government. And, Mr. President, F is just consistent with what the SLID board should do when they deal with state school trust lands. Mr. President, I'm not sure this will be the final way we do this as this continues to be a moving target, but I think this clearly represents our responsibility as members of the Senate to put forward the best option we see at this particular time. Glad to answer any of your questions. Ask you to support the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? If not, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 88, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? There being none, the question is, shall Senate File 88 pass the Senate? If the chief clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Boner, aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 88, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 88 has passed the Senate. Senate File 96, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 96, Marijuana Edibles, sponsored by Senator Wasserberger, an act relating to controlled substances.
We have amendments. The first If the reading clerk would please read in Amendment Number 1, Third Reading Amendment 1.
Senate File 96, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 2, after line 15.
Senator Meyer.
No. One?
Case.
Oh, it is Case. I apologize. Senator Case.
Mr. President, would you consider laying that amendment back till after the next amendment?
Absolutely.
And I would consider pulling it at that time.
Without objection, Third Reading Amendment Number 1 will be laid back, and we'll first consider Third Reading Amendment Number 2. If the reading clerk would please read in Third Reading Amendment Number 2.
Senate File 96, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, page 2, after line 15.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 96 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, one of the biggest concerns with this legislation is really the moving target aspect of what it means to have a certain amount of an edible, since there's no clear relationship between the compound mixture or substance and the concentration of the tetrahydrocannabinol in that substance. So without having that, without having a firm link to that concentration, it's very much a moving target, and we get into the circumstances that we discussed in previous debates where you could have a very low concentration, almost minimal, maybe somebody exhales smoke on it, and since you've got a large plate of brownies, over 3 ounces, that's going to be a potential criminal offense. Or on the other hand, you could have a tiny little gummy bear that was at a very, very high concentration, but that would not be a problem. Mr. President, what this amendment does is put it on a mass basis for the actual illicit substance instead of having it on this basis of the total amount of brownies or whatever the substance is going to be. And you can see that it goes into the amendment that we discussed on second reading, which is the standing amendment that we have, the Meyer Amendment, which currently would indicate that for these preparations, not more than 3 ounces of the total preparation. This amendment goes into that line and basically changes containing to include any amount of, which means any amount of brownies. The amount of brownies you have or food is not of consequence, but deleting the 3 ounces and changing it to including 15 grams of tetrahydrocannabinol. That's the active ingredient. That's what we're talking about. And the 15 grams, you all have a little handout that I prepared, which is simply a walkthrough of the math behind how I arrived at 15 grams of tetrahydrocannabinol. When you're looking at leaf marijuana, we currently have in statute a felony possession threshold of 3 ounces for leaf marijuana. Above that, that's a felony. Below that, it's going to be misdemeanor. We've already had discussion about what the THC concentration range is, and the most concentrated you currently see in the marketplace is a 35% THC concentration of marijuana in marijuana, which means that the highest amount of THC for misdemeanor marijuana leaf possession would be about 1.05 ounces, which is that 35% of the 3 ounces of the marijuana leaf. And that's equivalent to around 29.77 grams. Standard average marijuana is about half that concentration. So rather than setting it at the most conservative threshold, I moved, or the most limited threshold, I cut it in half to err on the side of being conservative, which gets you around 15 grams. So 15 grams of THC is a reasonable equivalent of your average 3 ounces of marijuana in the marketplace. What that does then, Mr. President, is get us to the point where the concern is relatively equivalent. We have reasonable laws in place where the edibles statute is reasonably equivalent to the leaf statute, to the reasonable approximation. Obviously, there's some potential variance depending on what the concentration of a leaf is, but this gets us to the point where we don't have to worry about the concentration. We worry about the total amount. And that begs the question then, Mr. President, well, how do we test for that? And that was one of the concerns, is that there's no test available. And I would argue that after looking a little bit into the research, there are plenty of tests available. This is not a significant challenge from the availability or existence of a test. It simply is from the expense of having a lab that has chain of evidence custody in place while being able to test this. But, Mr. President, I would argue that if you're getting to the point where you have a high enough concentration that as a prosecutor you believe it's necessary to prosecute somebody for felony possession based on the concentration they have for edibles, that you've arrived at a point where it's reasonable to actually go out and seek a lab opinion on it. My expectation would be if there's a small amount of marijuana brownies, it would be reasonable at that point that you would do a simple back-of-the-envelope calculation, figure out that you don't have enough THC there probably to worry about it, and that would go to the misdemeanor. If you had a room full of brownies, you could probably rest assured that you're going to get to the point where it would be worth prosecuting. So this is a reasonable standard that takes all of the guesswork out of the concentration side of things, Mr. President, puts a firm standard in that's a roughly equivalent standard to what we have elsewhere in statute for the misdemeanor felony line, and then does put an onus on the prosecutor that if they want to take it to a felony, they're going to have to do some research and figure it out and present a case that indicates that the concentration of the material times the amount of the material they have is sufficient to get over a 15-gram threshold. So this is a rational basis for the law that we're trying to look at, and hopefully the body will support that amendment, Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question of the sponsor, and I understand how you come the calculation and come up with the math, but when you say any amount of, and I'm trying to figure out if you have 15 brownies or you have 30 brownies, is it an aggregate of all of them? And what if you have one that has a higher concentration? How do you separate that out? And is it a matter of number, and you add up the total volume, and then you take the 15 grams or... Is there some way to get? I'm just trying to get a handle on how you would actually calculate it based on all the particular brownies you may have. It could be more than one. It could be 30. How that would happen?
Any further questions before the sponsor takes his second and final time, Senator Kinski?
Mr. President, I have a question for the sponsor. It is this: I wonder if the gentleman from the Ivory Tower doesn't intend to also place the same standard in the immediately preceding section, lines 9, 10, and 11. The section you're amending, 13 through 15, is intended for substance in any other form, e.g. it would be like a powder. The section 7 through 11 is the section dealing with edibles, which I think is what the gentleman's intent is actually to amend. Folks, I think the difficulties we're having here shows the problem of trying to craft a criminal statute on the fly by 30 people on second and third reading. We've got to place some confidence in your Judiciary Committee. The amendments that we did yesterday still have to be worked over because we created misdemeanor penalties in the felony section of the statute. Now we're going to create a gram standard for THC, and that sounds simple enough, but what we lack is evidentiary standards. If you've got a one-pound brownie and you send it off to the lab and you say, how many grams of THC are in there? Well, they obviously can't wring it out of the entire brownie. They have to take samples, and then they have to estimate what's in the brownie, and then they give that to the court, and that's where the defense lawyers just go have a field day with it. We are making this so complex that I'm afraid that it's going to kill the bill. And I would emphasize again, we have got to get a bill out of here before we adjourn. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Christensen.
Right, Mr. President, we're on the amendment, correct?
We're on the amendment, third reading amendment number 2. Thank you.
Thank you. On and against the amendment. Mr. President, members of the Senate, I had a document from our Director of Criminal Investigation, Director Woodson, put on your desk. And he met with his director of the State Crime Lab. Now, Wyoming has we've spent a lot of money, and we have a great crime lab. They're able to do all kinds of things, and they're pushing the envelope. It's what they do. They're always out there getting after it and trying to find the latest technology. If you haven't had a chance to read this memo, it's just a simple one-pager. And it describes, I think, the answer to this issue, to this amendment. It says, the second paragraph, the Wyoming Crime Lab does not have the ability to analyze any substance to determine the quantity of THC contained within the substance. To the best of my knowledge, the only laboratory that is capable of determining the THC content of marijuana plant material, and this is plant material, is the University of Mississippi Laboratory. And this lab does not or cannot determine THC of other substances. One of the things you need to be aware of in this, some of these discussion that's been circulating on the floor is, well, I looked on the internet. I saw this, I saw that. There are plenty of places that do it. I just urge you, and people with the legal background would certainly appreciate that there are different standards out there. And the standard that the law enforcement and the judiciary and the prosecutors hold to is the legal standard, and who actually can give that testimony, who's got the credentials, who can back it up, and if it holds up in court, if it's a worthy collection and sample and analysis. They are, in that third paragraph, it tells you, they are working. They are looking to find answers out there, and there's some work with NMS Labs, but even they do not have the capability yet to meet the standard and give us good, accurate information. And then the final paragraph, I think, really just goes to the whole conversation about, can we test for THC, can we not test for it? How do we apply it? The amendment that we're on right now talks about levels of THC. Our state director of DCI, with a lifetime, a long career in the federal industry, and now he's been with our state. Here's his statement, and he didn't just bring it from his office. He went right to the lab today. This is current, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd ask you to defeat this amendment. One more brief point is you hear a lot about Brownie. We're always talking about Brownie. Please remember that marijuana in the plant form is illegal in Wyoming. The brownies that may come from the state south of us are not home-baked, and they don't have those home-baked percentages of who knows what. So when we think about the home-baked product, remember, in the beginning, that came from a criminal act. So don't be careful and don't follow the red herring argument. It's just a brownie that somebody baked, and we don't know what's in it. If you're thinking about a home-baked, the very basis is a criminal act. If you're thinking about the neighbors to the south that are putting it out in the commercial level, we've had plenty of conversation on the strengths and the changes from a plant form to a refined form that then goes into food products. So I'd urge your no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion on amendment number 2. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm in favor of the amendment. I'm trying to understand the mindset of those who are against this amendment. If I've got an ounce of pot, that's a misdemeanor. If I am in possession of an ounce of pot, that's a misdemeanor. If I take that ounce of pot and I mix it into a brownie mix and bake brownies out of it, now the weight of the brownie mix is now included, without this amendment, is now included to now make it a felony. There's nothing illegal about a brownie. It's the pot in there that is the THC level. That is the illegal part. So that's where I'm getting the mental disconnect. I've got an ounce of pot. That's a misdemeanor. I throw it into a brownie mix. Now it's a felony. And if you're going to try and convict somebody of a felony, which is something that's going to stick with them for the rest of their lives, I think you should go through the expense of going to a lab and getting that THC level. We're talking about a discordant penalty for, I'm not denying it's a criminal act, but is this a misdemeanor, and is this something you want to ruin the rest of somebody's life for?
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe one point left. Unemphasize the very last sentence on the testing for the THC. We've got some undetermined costs there. The cost of such analysis will have to be borne by local law enforcement. We don't know what that cost is. And if we do, then we're shoving it on down to the local law enforcement level and asking them to pick up the tab against the amendment.
Any further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, if we don't do something like this, well, let me say, I think we need the bill. Because I think, absent the bill, we've got a great big hole. But without this amendment or some other solution, we put ourselves in the point of where something that has just very small proportions of the active ingredient here can get somebody a felony conviction, and that ruins lives. And if we don't fix that, then I think we have a very nasty choice, Mr. President, on third reading. Do we let... What's worse? The ruined lives from the excessive penalties? Where some people who are basically pretty innocent can get really harmed. And, or the risks that not getting a bill this time and getting it at the general session runs, where the judges have put things, some of the judges have put things wide open and made legal something that is potentially very dangerous. Mr. President, that's not a choice I want to have on third reading. And I think that the approach here is reasonable. I think we ought to put it in, see if there's problems, because it's too hard to prove, too costly to prove. Then we may need to come back and get a better solution next time. But... Because of the emphasis on the felony here, with this bill as it stands right now and the risks, I have a great deal of difficulty supporting the bill if we don't do something like this to deal with the problems that are in the bill as they stand now. So I urge adoption of the bill, the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Christensen, for your second time.
Mr. President, I'd urge us to be cautious about a fix to a problem when the fix then basically crashes the original intent of the bill. Let's not go down this rabbit hole.
Senator Burns, for your second time.
Thank you.
For my second time, Mr. President. I'm still just trying, I'm reeling from the idea that because our lab doesn't have the technology, currently have the technology or the equipment to be able to measure the THC, even though that technology is out there, it's gettable, we just haven't appropriated the money to them to get it. So because we don't have that, we're going to start convicting people of felonies. So if you'd like, want to do a cost analysis, what's it going to cost for our local lab to get that technology versus how many people are we going to be incarcerating? Because that is an actual cost that you have to lay down. How much is it going to cost to get that THC value either from a private lab or for us to get it into the crime lab here versus I think it's $44,000 or $50,000 per person that we incarcerate? And without this amendment, that's exactly what we're planning to do.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his final time. Senator Rothfuss, for your second final time on this bill. On this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And I appreciate the discussion and the concerns, and it would be nice if the equipment was already readily available and in our crime lab, but the reality is, from a technical standpoint, as a chemical engineer, this is not the world's most difficult problem. It really comes down to having a good chain of custody and having a lab that can do this and is set up for it and buying the equipment. There's no magic to sensing a complicated compound like we have here, which is a very specific compound. Many techniques exist to purify and then isolate and then do a mass analysis, and then you do that analysis relative to the total amount that you had, and there's a lot of straightforward chemistry and engineering that goes into this type of approach. As we've discussed, when you look at it from a cost analysis standpoint, while it might be an expensive piece of equipment, it's going to be far more expensive, Mr. President, to put 10 people in prison. That's $500,000 plus a year for at least 5 years. That's $2.5 million. And if we saved $2.5 million by buying a piece of equipment, that would probably be positive. So I'm not sure the cost aspect of it really is a good argument against it. With regard to a couple of the questions that were early on, I just wanted to address the majority floor leader's concept about how this would be calculated. And Mr. Majority Floor Leader, it would be an aggregate based on how it's phrased. So if you had 10 pans of brownies, you're going to add up the total amount of THC mass in those 10 pans of brownies. If that's greater than 15 grams, then that's going to be into the felony zone. Whereas if you had just one pan of brownies, and that would be different, and you might have to do multiple samples based on different foods you had to assess that, a concentration and a mass based on that concentration. But it's an aggregate amount, which is the same way that we work with the amount of marijuana you have distributed through your house, for example. You know, they're going to add that up. If you have 3 1-ounce bags, that doesn't get you off. That's still 3 ounces of marijuana. So I think it's consistent with the practice that's currently in place. And with regard to concerns over how this is located, I believe my good friend from Sheridan County was looking at the original legislation when he was reading it in, but this is being drafted into the second reading amendment, which is what is currently in place since that was adopted. So I believe it fits into the correct place. Mr. President, this is a scientifically reasonable approach to addressing the concerns and problems we have. I understand the body does want to pass legislation on this topic, but has wrestled, and the committee has wrestled, with the problem of how do we actually come up with the right amounts so that it's consistent with the other aspects of statute and that we don't have these concentration problems we've discussed, where you've got a very high concentration product on one hand that is a misdemeanor, and you've got a very low concentration. We heard discussion from the senator from Sheridan who was saying you take a misdemeanor amount of a drug and you mix it in with some brownies, and now you've got a felony product. I just don't see that as the intent of the Judiciary Committee or of this body. So, Mr. President, I hope that we can support this amendment as a body, make sure that we've got a reasonable piece of legislation that is scientifically credible, and even if it's a bit challenging for the initial testing phase, if this is something that needs to be addressed for a felony conviction, we'll find that test, we'll get it done, and it will certainly be a better investment for the people of Wyoming than just sending somebody to prison when they may or may not have really been a felon.
We're on third reading, amendment number 2. Thank you. Oh, the ayes and nays have been requested. We're on third reading, amendment number 2, to Senate File 96. If the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Escobel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Third reading amendment number 2 has failed. We're now on back on third reading amendment number 1, the Case Amendment. Senator Case. Oh, let's have it read in first, please.
Senate File 96, third reading amendment number 1, page 2, after line 15.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96. This is an identical amendment to what we discussed yesterday, but I do feel that the discussion about that we had earlier today and with the rest of yesterday might put this in a little bit better perspective. And, Mr. President, it goes right to the subject, I think, of, you know, can we determine that amount? And that is the crazy part of this, that I can have less than 3 ounces of plant material, I can whip it up in my kitchen into a smoothie, and maybe some fraction of that, maybe just a hundredth of that, put it in the smoothie, suddenly I could potentially be facing a felony. And that is, you know, you're going to affect a lot of people in this world by doing this. And that's the part that really I find, I know it's kind of against the spirit of how the laws have developed. And what is a basic fairness? And what's a basic fairness for all sorts of people? Mr. President, we don't have a medical marijuana permission in Wyoming. There is that thing we passed last year that was about cannibals. Not cannibals, Mr. President, but cannibaloids or whatever it was. It was about we did permit that. And my understanding is that doesn't have any THC, Mr. President. But what I'm getting at, I guess, is that, you know, there are people who aren't able to smoke marijuana because of their medical conditions. And they have to take it in an edible form. And they're doing it illegally, totally illegal. But they have a pretty good reason to do it. It's a very personal reason. And they, I don't think they deserve to be felons, especially if what they started with was what would ordinarily be a misdemeanor amount. Mr. President, they're all absolutely right when folks say that there are these high concentrated commercial products that can come in from another place, and that's bad news, Mr. President. I'd also point out to you that that bad news actually has the amount of THC. You can go to the manufacturer and actually find out the amount of THC that's in that. That hasn't been discussed so far. It's really absurd to think that something can be a misdemeanor in one form and a fraction of that is a felony in another form. We had that discussion on the last amendment. What's also kind of crazy is that, folks, it's crazy to me that we think it'll all work out because of prosecutorial discretion. And I always am a little bit hesitant to that. My experience is when people get charged, especially in the drug arena, is that prosecutors try to throw everything possible at them to see if it'll stick, because they're not just trying to shake out that person. They're trying to shake out whoever they got the product from, their connections, and they just, everything gets thrown at it, every possible violation. I don't see the discretion. Then there's pleading that goes on. Maybe that's where the discretion that comes in, but I don't really think that's fair. You face a potential felony, and you have to take steps accordingly. And if you end up being convicted, Mr. President, it is a life ruiner. Truly it is. And you're young, and you don't think about the consequences, and you're stuck with this the rest of your life. This goes back and says it doesn't impose any costs on the state. It just says that the person that is charged can have an affirmative defense that what's in the edible is less than it would normally be if it's a plant form. And the court can have that discussion. And if it's a manufactured product from another state, it'll be very easy to prove that that's not true, because you can go to that manufacturer and you'll know what's in that product. I hope we'll let this happen. This is the only way that this bill could possibly be successful.
Senator Meyer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. And one thing that was different than the previous amendment, the state doesn't pay for this. The defense pays for the tests. They have to find the lab. So that's a big difference between this amendment and the previous amendment, that there is no cost to the state. The cost is borne entirely by the defense.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Perkins.
President, I guess a question on that, on the last comment. My recollection from earlier testimony before JAC this year was over 60% of all prosecutions in the state are defended by the public defender's office. And so, so my question to the sponsors would be, if this test were available, I mean, I it seemed to me that it would be incumbent on the state's public defender's office to provide that defense to them. If I'm mistaken or I'm wrong, I'd certainly appreciate being corrected. But thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And just real quick, I on the JAC, I did tour the department that would be responsible for testing this, and we did fund their requests in the budget for a new spectro-macrophotometer something or other, which and I thought that what I had heard from leadership at that department was that they did have some money available that they could move around if they needed to purchase a different machine to do something like this. But I also have a letter here from another leader in another different department that essentially said that there is a lab that can test this. And also, I know we have the letter from the good chairman of the Joint Judiciary saying the opposite. So the other part of it is we have all these different pieces of information, and we're trying to make a decision on the fly. But having said that, on the amendment, my concern is, as I understand the whole issue, when you take the plant, heat it up, and turn it into an oil, and put that oil into some sort of a candy that you market to kids, it becomes much stronger. The problem is, just how much stronger is it? And so a lesser amount seems to be reasonable. So on and against the amendment.
Senator Kinski.
On and against the amendment, Mr. President. To follow on with my good friend, the senator from Camel Country, the technology exists to identify, to get the identity of the substance. What's missing, the unknown, is to get the volume of it in any of these things. So I would take you again to the letter that my good friend from Jackson presented from the crime lab. They, in fact, like you, are looking for a lab that can accurately measure the amount of THC. The third paragraph. We met with a private laboratory that was beginning research regarding developing the ability to determine TH content of marijuana plant material. They had not perfected that process, and they had not even begun to start the process of being able to accurately determine THC content contained in other substances, brownies, edibles, drinks, etc. So now if we turn our attention to the amendment, lines 6 and 7, if I've got that right, credible evidence, the total amount of marijuana, well, I'll just read the whole thing, the total amount of marijuana, and I can't pronounce that, THC, in a compound mixture or substance, we can't measure that, the total amount in a compound or substance, is not more than the amount contained in plant material. We can't measure that. So we're going to have an unknown over an unknown to get some kind of concentration. Again, I'd urge that this is a topic for the interim. And I absolutely understand what people are saying about ruining lives. And it's a valid concern. But if we cannot rely on the discretion of our police, our sheriffs, and our prosecutors, we've got a real problem in our criminal justice system. I remember when I was in law school, we went with the defense project over to the prison, and I interviewed this fella who was just there because he'd had a few marijuana plants. And he was so straightforward about that, I was convinced a terrible injustice had been rendered. So I asked the professor, I said, this guy's here for a couple marijuana plants? And he said, well, it was actually a couple warehouses of marijuana plants. The police are busy, the sheriffs are busy, the prosecutors are busy. They've got no interest in sending people to prison for a brownie. And you won't get a conviction out of a jury. It's just, if it's brownies and these sorts of things, it's because there's large volumes of them and it's clear that the person is a dealer. That's the reason for the old 3-ounce rule. It's just a simple threshold to at least get us started as to where is somebody dealing and where is somebody using. If somebody's over the 3 ounces, which is this amendment would remove, if somebody's over the 3 ounces, you've got to rely on the discretion of the prosecutors. There's no interest in sending people to prison for brownies. Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. At the beginning of the new language, you know, it's an affirmative defense to this subparagraph that is shown through credible evidence. Let's just stop there and that credible evidence, what is that going to involve? You know, we've seen from the second half all the questions. How do we prove that? Is this going to require a citizen to stand up and admit they committed a different crime, to give testimony on the volume? This all becomes rather hazy, and I think it sets the public up for failure on and against.
Questions? Further discussion on the amendment? We're on third reading amendment number one. Back to the sponsor for a second and final time.
Yeas and nays, Mr. President.
Yeas and nays have been called for. We're still back to the sponsor for a second time.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I do appreciate the caliber of discussion in the Senate. And, it's a privilege to be here with these senators and discuss these issues. With regard to the issue of public defenders, I think that's probably correct. I think it, people are entitled by our Constitution to a defense. And public defenders are as well. And the number is 60%, which very well could be, then that would come out of the cost of defense. The issue of the lesser amount and the concentration raised by my good friend from Campbell County, my understanding is that the physics of the substance doesn't change. It becomes concentrated. So you have THC in plant form, it is concentrated in a manner, and they can even distill the THC basically out in some processes, is my understanding. And so it's very concentrated. So you take 3 ounces worth of a marijuana plant, for example, and maybe it's good stuff or not good stuff, but it's 3 ounces concentrated into, in essence, one dose or, some fraction or multiple of that. But that is the concentration. The physics doesn't change. You don't create, the THC doesn't magically increase. It's just that it becomes concentrated. I can always stand corrected on that, but I believe that's absolutely true. Mr. President, it doesn't always involve a chemical analysis. And I think the fact that someone be able to offer defense and prove that they purchased a quantity of marijuana and that was a small quantity of marijuana that would be a misdemeanor under our current statutes. And they can prove, maybe they had witnesses, who knows how they prove it, but they can prove that that's what they made the product with. That's a decent defense. It doesn't involve chemical analysis. It's simple to do, and it at least a lot ought to be allowed in court. I repeat the fact that if we want to allow prosecutors to have total discretion to decide, why do we even bother to come down here and make laws about criminal activities? They'll just settle it up, and it'll all be fair. It'll just work out perfectly. It doesn't really work like that. Our jobs decide what the penalty for the crime is. That's why we get the big bucks and sit in these fancy chairs in this wonderful building, which I'm growing to love. And, Mr. President, that's our job. Let's do our jobs. Thank you, Mr. President.
The ayes and nays have been requested. We're on third reading amendment number one. Roll call.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Bebout?
No.
Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen? No. Co?
No.
No. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Emmerich?
No.
No. Esquivel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
No.
No. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
No. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 9 aye, 21 no.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 96 has failed. We're on third reading amendment number 3, corrected copy. Senator Meyer.
Move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 96. As for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I probably should have broke this into several amendments because it's going to take a little while to explain this. If I go over a little bit on the first. Oh, yeah, it needs to be read in.
Let's read the amendment in, then we'll do the motion. I apologize. Yep.
Senate File 96, third reading amendment, number 3, corrected copy.
Now back to you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I go, I would move third reading amendment 3 to Senate File 96, ask for the body's favorable consideration. If somebody wants to divide this so we have a little more discussion time on this, it might be appropriate, Mr. President. Mr. President, this amendment goes into some unintended consequences. I actually went back into the definitions to find some, and I call your attention to line 24 on, well, let me see here, let me make sure I get the right line here. Line 24 of the definition for marijuana, it says it does not include the mature stalks of the plant, fiber produced from the stalks, oil cake made from salts, derivative mixtures and preparations, other mature stalks. Then it says except resins extracted. But folks, here's where the problem is in the current definition, is that you could have an oil or cake that's made out of these plant products. Which essentially the reason they are in here is that they're non-psychoreactive, but you could take resin and infuse that into it or add THC into it, and automatically you have a product that basically it's not illegal to have. So, Mr. President, I went in to make sure that we clarified that, and I put on line 30, or any non-psychoactive derivative extract, compound, or other component of any part of the plant. But Mr. President, what that does when you say non-psychoactive, if somebody did infuse a THC or resin into a cake or an oil or sterilized seed of the plant or the stalks, then, Mr. President, then that would stand the test to where you'd have a crime. So I cleared that up, Mr. President. In the second section here, remember that last year we did provide for epilepsy for the non-psychoactive derivatives there, and I put that into the subsection of 21, Romanet 21, so we don't have the unintended consequences of having it legal in one part of our statute, but the definition part of the statute makes it illegal, so I cleared that up, Mr. President. Coming on down into page 2, in that area there, the first part of that is, again, goes into the part A and B. When we pulled in B of the original amendment. That pulled in some other drugs that were not marijuana and essentially made them in the area of misdemeanors, which that's an unintended consequence. So we take B out, just leave A, and draft A up into the subparagraph. And we also add the non-psychoactive derivatives there, where if they're not a psychoactive derivative, they fall along the same reasoning as what was in the marijuana definition of stocks and seeds and things like that. So, Mr. President, that's the cleanup on that. Then we inadvertently, and I represented to the body that the felony wasn't out of it. That's how I asked staff to draft it. However, upon further review, when we took B and put it in there, which we deleted up in page 2 after line 15, basically we made those controlled substances misdemeanors and not felonies. So over on lines 39 through 41, that cleans that up, puts it back into the original bill. So those are felonies, Mr. President. And then also the cleanup to make sure that the edibles over 3 ounces are felonies. We had to cite the paragraph VI in subsection Romanet 3, and that goes into the section of felonies. So that's as the felonies back for edibles, Mr. President, and that felony provision is 5 years and 10,000 as it was previously. Any questions on that? I certainly stand for them.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Questions on the amendment? Discussion on the amendment? Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. After thoroughly studying this all night and early... Oh, hold it. I didn't. I just received it. Mr. President, that's my point. This is a very complicated amendment. It works in a lot of different places, and the explanation feels like it may be accomplishing the right things, but I think we need to be very careful when we have an amendment like this without time to study it, without time to talk to people and go to the experts in the field. And this would be a great amendment to work into a interim study and really give it the service and the study that it deserves so that we can understand it. I did go to the Internet trying to look at terms, and I was somewhat reassured until you get in there and wonder about the placement. Are there unintended consequences? And I think this is a risky place to be gambling if we don't have a full understanding with this type amendment.
On and against.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is confusing, but I'm thinking that you probably need this amendment if you want to keep the felony, because we did pass second reading amendment the last time. And so if you defeat this amendment, then what you've created is kind of a mess, and it includes other substances other than marijuana or edibles, and because you brought in other toxic substances. So I would reluctantly say that I think we probably need to pass this.
Other discussions on the amendment? Further discussions? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, I would reluctantly agree with the previous chair of the Judiciary Committee in looking at how he reads this in. I remain a little cautious and hesitant, but I appreciate his input.
Question.
Further discussion. The question has been called for. We're on third reading amendment number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The amendment has been adopted. That was third reading amendment number 3, corrected copy. Are there any other amendments? There being none, we're back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the bill, fellow senators, I wanted to clarify a point that I made yesterday. It was pointed out to me that I exaggerated just a little bit when I was talking about my home district up there. You might recall that, in my previous job, I was visiting about how many cases we had run into the year after the grand experiment in the state to the south began. And I indicated that that we had a spike of about 10 times the sorts of cases that involved possession of this sort of material. And I was reminded that it actually was about 8 times, about 8 to 1. So I just wanted to clarify that, Mr. President, and thank you for the opportunity to do that.
Further discussion on the amendment, on the bill, excuse me, we're back on the bill. There being none, the question is, shall Senate File 96 pass the Senate on third reading? If the chief clerk would please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Esquivel?
No.
No. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Ross?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Fladern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Nicholas?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 no.
Senate File 96, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect to the Senate, Senate File 96 has passed the Senate. Do we have any messages, any reports? We do have some reports from standing committees. Reports from standing committees.
February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 32 engrossed, Insurance Regulation Parity, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 31, engrossed, Uniform Securities Act, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Any further? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand recessed until 2:15 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet 30 minutes after noon recess in room S-19. Take up House Bill 2, Engrossed Electric Vehicle Decal.
Any other messages? You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion's passed. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You forgot Tony.
Did you say 2:15?
Yeah, but he didn't announce. Did you announce your meeting?
All right, let's back up. Senator Ross, announcements.
Yes, Mr. President, your Appropriations Committee will meet in the Appropriations Committee Room, which is Jonah Room L-55. We'll first hear on discussion of House amendments to the General Appropriations Bill, and then we'll take up House Bill 146 engrossed, Investment of Workers' Compensation, account and the school facilities appropriation bill, which is House 52, and also try to get the re-referral in, which is House Bill 28. Your Honor.
Time? What time?
And we're going to do that in just a few minutes. I think the majority of Florida moved that we stand in recess until 2:15.
I think that's true.
But you said 2 o'clock, so.
I'm going to change. Any further announcements?
So what time do you think, maybe?
It'll be last up.
Yeah, all right. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2:15 p.m.